Book of Moses Insight, number 5. Were ancient Enoch manuscripts the inspiration for Moses 6 and 7? In this insight, we will introduce the most well-known Enoch manuscripts and review the possibility that Joseph Smith could have derived the Enoch accounts in Moses 6 and 7 from any of them. Pioneering Insight's sights on the relationship between ancient Enoch manuscripts and the Book of Moses can be found in the writings of Hugh W. Nibley, who wrote a series of articles on the subject for the Ensign magazine in 1975 through 1977. First Enoch. Of the extant Enoch manuscripts, the best known is First Enoch, also referred to as Ethiopic Enoch or simply the Book of Enoch. First Enoch is one of the most important Jewish works of pseudepigrapha, highly valued in the early Christian community and explicitly and implicitly cited in New Testament epistles. Except for quotations of First Enoch found in Christian patristic literature, the full form of the text was unknown to the Western world until 1773, when it was discovered in Abyssinia by James Bruce. When this discovery brought First Enoch out of obscurity, it remained largely untouched until it was translated into English by Richard Lawrence in 1821. What is the likelihood that Joseph Smith knew about Lawrence's translation? In his 2010 master's thesis, Salvatore Cirillo cites and amplifies the position of Michael Quinn, who more than a decade earlier had argued that Joseph Smith's access to this translation of First Enoch had moved, quote, beyond probability to fact, end of quote. However, Cirillo's confidence is at odds with the views of other scholars who have addressed this issue. For example, the renowned Latter-day Saint historian Richard L. Bushman concluded, quote, it is scarcely conceivable that Joseph Smith knew of Lawrence's Enoch translation, end of quote. Because Cirillo agrees that Joseph Smith likely didn't have access to the 1821 printing of Lawrence's translation, he has argued that the prophet may have used a purported 1828 American edition of the work. However, evidence has now been provided that there was no such edition, though researchers will no doubt continue their search for sources through which Joseph Smith could have become aware of First Enoch. Conclusively arguing that he actually saw and studied such sources will likely prove difficult. More important, for reasons that we outline further below, First Enoch as a whole would have been a relatively unfruitful source of ideas when compared with other ancient Enoch texts that Joseph Smith could not have known. Most Enoch scholars break the text of First Enoch into 5 separate books. 1. The Book of Watchers, chapters 1 through 36. 2. The Book of the Parables, or Similitudes, chapters 37 through 71. 3. The Book of the Luminaries, or the Astronomical Book, chapters 72 through 82. 4. The Dream Visions, or Book of Dreams, chapters 83 through 90. And 5. The Epistle of Enoch, chapters 91 through 108. In contrast to the other 4 books in First Enoch, the Book of Parables will hold special interest for students of the Book of Moses. Notably, both the Book of Moses and the Book of Parables describe heavenly ascents of Enoch that include visions with the central figure and a common set of titles. For instance, the important title Son of Man, which is a notable feature of the Book of Parables, appears in marked density throughout Enoch's grand vision in the Book of Moses. Remarkably, the titles Chosen One, Anointed One, and Righteous One also appear prominently in both texts. Other passages in the Book of Parables speak of the resurrection of the righteous in the last days, who will be gathered to a place of glory and holiness, and, quote, with that Son of Man they will eat and lie down and rise up forever and ever, end of quote. However, aside from the shared prominence of the Son of Man and related motifs in the Book of Parables and the Book of Moses, very few unique and unmistakable parables have been identified between the 2 Enoch chapters in the Book of Moses and the sizable text of First Enoch. Resemblances are relatively sparse, and the storylines are mostly divergent. A study by Latter-day Saint historian Jed Woodworth concluded that the principal themes of, quote, Lawrence's 105 translated chapters do not resemble Joseph Smith's Enoch in any obvious way, end of quote. And even one well-informed scholar who is skeptical of the divine origins of the Book of Moses concluded that, quote, the literary connections between Moses 6 through 8 and First Enoch are, in my opinion, very loose, and more time and attention should be placed elsewhere, end of quote. In summary, ongoing research has shown that it is not only improbable, but also off the mark to conclude that First Enoch served as the primary inspiration for Joseph Smith's writings about Enoch. In spite of all the spilled ink spent on First Enoch, more significant affinities are found in other pseudepigrapha described below. Second Enoch. Second Enoch, also known as Slavonic Enoch or the Book of the Secrets of Enoch, is a Jewish pseudepigraphal text that describes the heavenly ascent of the antediluvian patriarch Enoch and his initiation into the divine mysteries. Although most scholars argue for a first century Greek original, no Greek manuscripts have been found. Second Enoch comes to us principally through medieval Slavic Christian manuscripts. Latter-day Saint readers of the Book of Moses will find interest in the Second Enoch account about Enoch's ascension to the highest heaven and his initiation into the heavenly mysteries in that celestial realm. At one point, the Lord commands Michael to anoint and clothe Enoch, saying, quote, "Go and take Enoch and remove his earthly garments and anoint him with my sweet ointment and put him into the garments of my glory." End of quote. As a result of this investiture, Enoch declares, quote, "I looked at myself and I was transformed into one of his glorious ones." End of quote. Other details of this heavenly ascent resemble aspects of Enoch's vision in Moses 7. What are the chances that Joseph Smith could have known 2nd Enoch? The likelihood is nil, since its first publication in a Western language, Latin, did not occur until 1899. 3rd Enoch. 3rd Enoch, also known as the Hebrew Apocalypse of Enoch, or the Book of Palaces, is a Jewish pseudepigraphal text written later than 1st Enoch and 2nd Enoch. 3rd Enoch can be seen to draw on traditions found in the earlier Enochic literature, especially on the Book of Parables of 1st Enoch. It is often grouped together with the text of the Hekhalot literature, a body of esoteric Jewish writings that feature the idea of ascension to the heavenly realm. The date of its creation is highly disputed, and most scholars suggest that it is a composite work written by multiple authors in different time periods. In a previous insight, the title of Enoch as a lad in Moses 6:31 and 3rd Enoch was discussed. Other items of interest to Latter-day Saint readers include the scene in 3rd Enoch where Rabbi Ishmael reaches the entrance to the highest heaven. In addition, echoing the similar account in 2nd Enoch, Metatron, an Enoch figure in later Jewish tradition, recalls for Rabbi Ishmael the transfiguration that occurred during his being taken up to heaven. God revealed to Enoch the heavenly secrets and gave him a throne similar to the throne of glory, as mentioned in Moses 7:59. Metatron also showed Rabbi Ishmael the spirits of the dead, both righteous and wicked, and also the spirits of those yet to be born. This corresponds to Moses 6:36, which states that Enoch, quote, "beheld the spirits that God had created," and also to Moses 7:57, where Enoch sees in vision that, quote, "as many of the spirits as were in prison came forth and stood on the right hand of God, and the remainder were reserved in chains of darkness until the judgment of that great day," end of quote. Could Joseph Smith have known 3rd Enoch? There is no possibility of that, since none of the extant manuscripts of 3rd Enoch were published in his lifetime. Other Enoch sources. In a previous insight, we explored some of the significant Mandean sources that intersect with the Book of Moses Enoch account. Moreover, in 2018, John C. Rees and Annette Yoshiko Reed published the first volume of their book series entitled Enoch from Antiquity to the Middle Ages. This volume makes available in English many little-known texts about Enoch from Jewish, Christian, and Islamic sources. Examples of the resemblances in these texts to the Book of Moses have been explored elsewhere. Like the ancient Enoch sources discussed above, none of these additional sources would have been accessible when Joseph Smith translated the Book of Moses. Book of Giants. The Book of Giants is a collection of fragments from an Enochic book discovered at Qumran. It is not found with a collection of writings in the Ethiopic Book of 1st Enoch, and as a whole resembles little else in the Enoch tradition. Material related to the Book of Giants is included in Talmudic and medieval Jewish literature, in descriptions of the Manichaean canon, in citations by hostile heresiologists, and in the 3rd and 4th century fragments from Turfan, published by Henning in 1943. Later, several fragments of a related work were identified among the Qumran manuscripts. The fragmentary Book of Giants has proven to be of tremendous importance to Enoch scholarship. It was very popular at Qumran, more popular than First Enoch itself. Even more significantly, it is arguably the oldest extant Enoch manuscript. Although fragments of the Book of Giants have been found previously in the writings of Mani, its discovery at Qumran as part of the Dead Sea Scrolls showed that its composition is, quote, at least 500 years earlier than previously thought, end of quote. Thus, it helps us to, quote, reconstruct the literary shape of the early stages of the Enochic tradition, end of quote. Note that the terms giants in the title of the book is misleading. Although, actually, the book describes two different groups, referred to in Hebrew as the Gibberim and the Nephilim. In discussing Enoch's mission among the Gibberim, it is probably more appropriate to read the term with its customary connotation in the Bible of mighty hero or warrior instead of giant. Later, the terms Gibberim and Nephilim, the later term originally used to refer to what seems to have been a remnant of a race of giants, were equated in some contexts. Consistent with this distinction, Joseph Smith, in his Enoch account, specifically differentiated giants, possibly the Nephilim, from Enoch's other adversaries, the Gibberim, or mighty warriors. Although the combined fragments of the Book of Giants scarcely fill three pages in the English translation of Martinus, we find in it the most extensive series of significant parallels between a single ancient text and Joseph Smith's account of Enoch's preaching mission and subsequent battles with his enemies. These resemblances range from general themes in the storyline, secret works, murders, visions, earthly and heavenly books of remembrance that evoke fear and trembling, moral corruption, hope held out for repentance, the crying out of the earth, the gathering of the righteous, and the eventual defeat of Enoch's adversary in battle, ending with their utter destruction and imprisonment, to specific occurrences of rare expressions in corresponding contexts, the reference to a wild man, the name and parallel role of Mahijah, Muhuja, and the roar of the wild beasts. We will draw on parallel themes and expressions from the Book of Giants like those above by one in several subsequent insights. Summary. It would have been virtually impossible for Joseph Smith in 1830 to have been aware of the most important resemblances to ancient literature in his Enoch revelations, other than the few unique and typically loose parallels found in First Enoch, which Joseph Smith is unlikely to have encountered in any detail. The text that would have been required for a 19th century author to derive such significant parts of Moses 6 and 7 had neither been discovered by Western scholars nor translated into English. Moreover, even if other relevant traditions outside the Enoch literature, such as Masonic or Hermetic traditions, had been available to Joseph Smith by 1830, they would have not have provided the prophet with the suite of specific and sometimes peculiar details that are shared by Moses 6 and 7 and pseudepigrapha like 2nd Enoch, 3rd Enoch, and the Book of Giants. But it is not merely the mass of disparate details from the ancient world that attracts us to the Enoch account in the Book of Moses, but rather the beauty, truth, and coherence of the story as a whole. How on earth could Joseph Smith, left to his own devices, have actually accomplished what so few others of his time would have not even dared to attempt? Referring to the translation of the Book of Moses, to the Book of Mormon, which in several ways is analogous to the translation of the Book of Moses, Hugh Nibley describes the wonder of it all. Quote, a Victor Hugo or an Anatole France can tell a convincing story when he is near to his own time, but let any writer, even the most learned, slip back a couple of thousand years and a few thousand miles around the globe, and he finds himself in a treacherous terrain from which the only escape lies in taking the wings of fantasy. The scripture author imparts his information in such simple, effortless, and matter-of-fact discourse that the reader easily overlooks the vast amount of detail that is woven into the natural and uncomplicated pattern. What writer of historical fiction has ever remotely approached such an achievement?